Welcome to the 2023 Virtual Region Convention and to our tools session.
Thank you very much. I am Ellen. I am a compulsive overeater and your moderator for today. So today we will have two speakers. We are going to start with Rhonda. Rhonda has been in Overeaters Anonymous since 1985, has been maintaining her normal, healthy body weight, and is living by the spiritual principles of one day at a time.
Thank you so much. Hi, everyone. My name is Rhonda. I live in New York City, Queens, which is an outer borough of one of the boroughs. I have been in Overeaters Anonymous since 1985. I am 53. I'm pretty open about my age because, I'm a spiritual being, and someone said that to me. I'm living in a human body. I don't know. That's my time. So, you can do the math. I came into OA very young. I was 16 years old, a teenager at the time. OA has changed a lot, but today I'm here to talk to you about the telephone. I love the telephone. I love my cell phone, which, by the way, is off, so no distractions during this. But I do love the phone. I loved when I had a landline. I love the tool of the telephone. When I first came in, it was suggested to me to make 3 phone calls a day, as well as a call to my sponsor. For me, there's progress, there's no perfection. But I have to say, for me, the telephone is a lifeline. The telephone gets me out of my own way. Calling a newcomer, calling anyone, can not only help them, it helps me. When I was in, I want to preface too that I don't have back-to-back abstinence. I don't have back-to-back stick-to-itiveness, but I do have consistency and repetition today. When I've gone out of OA and done my research, I've always come back, and I'm grateful. I'm not planning to leave one day at a time. So the telephone, yes, I used to make calls with the expectation of receiving a call back. So I'd kind of be keeping a score. Well, I called so-and-so, but, they didn't call me back. So, all right, erase that name, erase that number. Today, and it kind of took me a long time to understand this, that it's not about getting the call back. It's about making the call, because the call itself is the action. The call itself is the service. The call itself is the outreach. So understanding that has put a whole new perspective on my relationship with the telephone. I want to reference 2 little guides, which, of course, I've had buried in my drawer and want to reference, because I don't hear enough about OA literature, and I need to hear more. So in the Overeaters Anonymous Strong Abstinence Checklist and Writing Exercise, which, by the way, these are all offered on OA.org, question 7, have I made an OA call today? In the little booklet carrying the message, also the dues of carrying the message, talks somewhere about, I am always willing to give out the new prospect card and my phone number. When I'm on meetings, I like to give my number out. I know that many times I have needed a call and just at that moment received it. I can't tell you how many times I've made a call, and I make calls to new people, to people I know, people I don't know, newcomers, because it's humbling. That's the humility part of it. And I've learned, it doesn't need to be a long hour, 2-hour call. It can be a hi, my name's Rhonda. I heard you on the meeting, or I'm part of program. How are you? It doesn't need to be a long thing. I have 5 minutes. I just wanted to, say hi. Or if I get a voicemail, and then, depending on the relationship I have with the person, for example, if the person leaves their name, says this is so-and-so, and I've met them through a meeting, I might say this is Rhonda from program or from this meeting. If I don't hear a name per se, I might just say, hi, I'm just making an outreach call. This is my number. Nowadays with the technology, this machine, as someone said, this computer has many powerful benefits. Texting is definitely an option. Is it my go-to option? No, not necessarily. I will use it, but there's nothing for me more powerful than having a call with someone. I read that somewhere as well, that being on the phone for me it's like being in a face. It's not exactly the same as like having coffee or tea with someone face to face, but it's like that. The connection. I do, my profession is speech and language. I'm a speech and language pathologist, and I share that because I have that communication type of attitude. There to me, the intonation, hearing how someone's feeling, maybe, in a text I could write, okay, but if I talk to you, I might say, I'm having a really bad day because how are you doing? It kind of opens up the channels, if that makes sense. I want to also reference because, I have the big handy. This is my big, large print, big book, which I so appreciate because as I'm getting older, I have a small book and I have a big book. Even when, the days of the big book, the telephone was mentioned, as early as in Bill's story, when he got that phone call from Abby, the telephone rang. And then later where, he was in the bar and, he went to the phone. Him going to that phone kept him sober. I like to just do that. And that was the intuitive thought I got before speaking. I didn't plan out per se exactly what I was going to say, but I like to that just came to me. It also talks about it in For Two Wives. It says something about the telephone. Your telephone may just be ringing a lot. One of the things that I did have to do and be really cognizant of is, and it was an amends that I made with my family members, was when my children were very little, the phone had just come out and I had joined a phone meeting, which I'm still on to this day. There are numerous wonderful, in addition, of course, to the beautiful Zoom meetings and face-to-face meetings, which may come back, more as we go on. The phone meeting, it's amazing to me, this idea of calling into a phone, channel. But oftentimes when I was home, I was sort of like half listening. Like I was on a meeting, but like talking to my children. And, one day my daughter was like, Mom, I feel like you're really disconnected. So my point in mentioning this is that, I need to be aware of when I'm making the calls, how long I'm on the phone, where I am. These are important because I want to also respect other people's anonymity. So I don't want to be in a place where, people are, perhaps it's really noisy or people are, I try to be mindful of that. I think that's the big piece for me is the mindfulness. Sometimes as an addict, I have to turn off my phone. It's very, very, very difficult for me. I'm having a lot of challenges, especially recently, where I'm going through some stuff and I keep wanting to check. I'm checking, my calls. I'm checking my texts. That in itself for me is addictive behavior. So I'm not downplaying the phone. I love it, but I also feel it is a tool. And I sometimes need to put that down because, for example, if I'm praying and meditating, if I'm speaking, if I'm listening, I want to be fully present. That to me is the gift of recovery, being fully present. So if I can't, better to let a call go to voicemail or to say to someone, I can't talk right now. Thank you. Thank you. Than to be as what I had done to my family, half listening, not really paying attention, not paying attention on the meeting. You know, and I do have to say I'm still a work in progress. You know, sometimes when I'm on the phone or even on a Zoom meeting, I'm guilty of getting distracted and looking for things or doing other things. And I'm really, really, really working on that because my higher power would have me be quiet, still, focused, listening. I want to also just add, because I have 5 minutes left, as I said, you know, the lifeline, the tools for me are very intertwined. So, for example, two or more people make a meeting. So sometimes I've been on a phone call with like a close friend in program, and she once said to me, Rhonda, you know what? I was going to attend the meeting, but we just had a meeting. And I felt the same way. You know, it was like one of those in-depth. Sometimes I've done reading with people on the phone. I've pulled up literature. I have a very, very close friend in program who we both love in the OA 12 and 12. First, the willingness, then the ability. We can count on this without fail. Sometimes I will call her or text her and just say that to her. If I read that in one of the meditation books, I will remind her of that. She will remind me. So the point I'm making is I get to incorporate other tools within the telephone realm. So, for example, when I'm speaking with her on the phone, I'm using literature. We're having a meeting. You know, sometimes I could be doing some writing with someone on the phone or whatnot. You know, and certainly the sponsorship component. You know, when I speak to my sponsee or I'm speaking to my sponsor and I'm working on some on my steps. That is utilizing the tool of the phone and also the tool of being a sponsor or being sponsored. So just like the steps are not like completely, you know, separate, you know, they all build on one another. You know, I can't jump from 1 to 12 or 12 to 1, but the tools themselves can be intertwined in a really beautiful way. There might even be more ways than I'm even seeing now. And perhaps as I hear from all of you later in the sharing or Q&A, that might come up as well. But I'm just delighted to be here. I wasn't sure if I would be able to be of service. My father had passed a couple months ago, and the grief has been really, really difficult. So that had taken a little bit of a toll on my service. But you know what? It's like suit up and show up and do something else. But for me, service is the cornerstone of my recovery, and I can do it. I have some trouble still with co-hosting, hosting, all that, and I'd like to learn more. But if I can show up and share my experience, strength, and hope with all of you and be authentic and be honest and open-minded and willing, then that's carrying the message. Then that's what my higher power would have me be at this time. So my time is probably just about up, and I'm just really grateful, grateful beyond words to be here with all of you. So with that, I will pass. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you for your share, Rhonda. Our next speaker on the topic of the telephone is Cindy. Cindy is from St. Louis, Missouri, I think you say it, and has been a member of Overeaters Anonymous since 1992. Go ahead, Cindy, take it away.
Hello, I'm Cindy, and I'm a compulsive eater, and I have been in OA since 1990. I have 23 years current abstinence, and I am maintaining about a 60-pound weight loss, and the telephone was not my friend. The telephone was a painful thing in my household. I had 5 teenage boys, and of course, we had a second line just to manage all the calls that they had. And so, you know, if they called in on our line, we'd say, we're sorry, they have their own phone number. But if a call came, I didn't want to answer it. I didn't want to pick it up and talk to the other person on the other end. I had gotten to where my disease had me, you know, kind of depressed and feeling sorry for myself. And so getting a phone call at night, I would avoid it. I would let it go to voicemail. I guess back in 1990, we probably had an answering machine. It was very difficult. Now, I had a job where I answered phone calls all the time, and I spoke to people for the time that I was there. You know, that was my interaction. But my mind was always so stirred up, worrying about where was I going to get my next fix, where was the next food coming from, that it wasn't fully present for anything I was doing. I was always worrying about what people thought about me, what they said about me, you know, as if I was the only topic that they could talk about. So getting a phone call, really, I almost always knew it wasn't going to be from a friend. It might be from a family member, because at that point in my life, I didn't feel like I had any friends. So here I joined OA, and they're like, oh, we'll give us your phone number and we'll call you. Well, people didn't call me. I thought I would get a phone call, but they didn't call me. But that was okay, because I was comfortable going to the meetings and talking at the meetings. And after a little while, they were talking about sponsors. So I thought, well, that lady over there, she has children that about the age of mine, and she has a job, and so there might be something we can talk about. So I asked her to be my sponsor, and she said, give me a call. Well, I couldn't do that. Just to pick up the phone and casually call someone and disturb them to, oh, they might be doing something far more important than my phone call, that made me hesitate. So the next week when I went to the meeting, she said, you didn't call me. And I said, no. And she said, so let's make an appointment. Well, she had me there because I would fill an appointment. And I said, okay, I'll call you on Tuesday at 7 o'clock. I don't remember obviously when, but I sat down on the side of the bed and I picked up that really heavy phone and I dialed, and this friendly voice on the other end said, oh, I'm so glad you called me. How are you? And where shall we begin? Where shall we start working together? How do you want to do this? And she gave me some choices. She wasn't a particularly directive person, but she gave me her time on that phone. And we talked, and gradually we talked more and more about how to recover in OA. We talked about how she worked the steps. We talked about things I needed to know about as far as what do I do about my food? What do I need to know? Those are the sort of things we talked about in the beginning. But the relationship built to the point where I was pretty comfortable calling her whenever I was uncomfortable. That was something I wouldn't have done. But because there was this expectation that I would call her, I was able to let down my guard and let down my walls and have an interaction with another person. So that was my very first, you know, kind of getting into the phone call routine. And then I started getting phone calls that I found to be kind of delightful, and yet they surprised me. I had put my number on the contact list at my meetings, and I'd get this phone call from a woman, and she would say, "Hi, I'm Sandra, and I'm calling to just get my three calls in, and I hope you have a blessed day." That was about all she ever said, but she would then hang up, you know? And I thought, oh, is that all that's required when you make a phone call? Just to say, hello, I'm doing this because it helps me, and I hope you're having a good day. Wow, that's pretty fun. I these days get a phone call from someone every, I think she must rotate through about 30 people, because maybe once a month, but right around dinner time, I get a phone call, and she'll say, "I'm just making my nightly phone call. I'm committing not to eat after I have my meal." And I always tell her how happy I am that she called me, because it delights me that she's willing to work her program so hard, to commit for herself so much that she's willing to make that phone call. And even though I barely know her, I'm always happy to hear from her. So those are ways that I originally interacted. And then I would sometimes get calls from people who just needed to be listened to. And I always was happy to do that. After about a year, maybe it wasn't even a year. After I had gotten my abstinence going, and back then you only needed 30 days of abstinence to become a sponsor, I started telling everyone I could be a sponsor and, you know, that they could call me. Luckily, most people didn't call me. I didn't get anyone asking me to be their sponsor for about a year, because they recognized I was still pretty nuts. But when that started to happen, people would call and ask me to be their sponsor. And I had learned how to work with another person on the telephone to be a sponsor, because I'd had a sponsor on the telephone. I'd also learned that I could reach out to others. So that worked so well. Then eventually, always started having telephone meetings. And I know this is not the topic of meetings, but that telephone, that tool, still gave me a great connection to other human beings. I started going to a telephone meeting, and I could hear the recovery. I could hear what other people do through that same device. So there's another way I could use that tool. I used to work down at our, we had an office, and I would be there to answer phone calls if someone needed information about OA. So that was a way I could give service, by using the telephone. And eventually we got rid of our office, but we purchased a phone that we could pass around, so I can still give service by helping newcomers by carrying the OA telephone with me. So there's another way. There was a time, I'm going to go back to this, I love participating in any way I can in service. And so, you know, being a person that picks up the phone and answers questions or helps sponsor somebody. There was a time I think I sponsored like 10, 15 people, and I'd be on the phone almost all day. I had to learn that really wasn't necessary, that we all get better when we get to talk a little bit and then we do our homework. But at the time, that's what I had time available for. And I did a lot of phone sponsoring, and also talking to my sponsor daily, because that was what I needed. But there was a time when I was out of the country and I was on my own, alone. And I know they had OA in that area, and I probably could have made connections, but I decided to isolate. And bet most of you can figure out what happened when I gave up the use of the telephone, because I couldn't call my normal friends. And I ended up in relapse because I've gotten back into that habit of being afraid to reach out to other people. So that's the beauty of being in a region, or in this region, where now I understand I can get connected either through text or through telephone or through some other electronic means to a meeting, to another person. When I have those days when I don't know what to do, I don't know about anyone else, but my brain gets excited and then it kind of forgets everything it knows. And I think, well, something in the refrigerator might work. I can grab my phone. I can talk to any of my friends. If the first one doesn't answer, I just call the next one. Or I get the list from the meeting I was at the other day and I call them. And I just say, I'm crazy right now, and I just need someone to listen to me, or I just need to commit that I'm not going to go and get into anything that's not okay for me to have. That reaching out, the previous speaker, Rhonda, said, it's not about getting the phone calls. It's about making the phone calls. It breaks down my resistance. It makes me humble enough to ask for help. And so I really appreciate all the methods we have of reaching out and connecting with each other electronically. And I really love the fact that I'm very comfortable with phone calls now. And I love getting them from other members who are struggling or who are celebrating or who just need to check in because that's their commitment to their service. And I think that's really everything I have to say. So I will, thanks. So I will just say thank you for listening and thank you for everybody that's given service today. And I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Cindy. Thank you, Rhonda and Cindy. The first question comes from a member, and it is, I struggle with pretty bad anxiety. I have a great deal of trouble talking to others on the phone. Any ideas on how to overcome that struggle? Rhonda?
Sure. I would love to answer that. I will openly say that I too struggle with anxiety. One of the suggestions that was made to me and that I sometimes even will use is kind of like either like a role play with maybe my sponsor or someone else I trust, or even just writing it down. Like, you know, what would I just say? Hi. And kind of just doing it. For me, it gets easier. It got easier as I just keep doing it. It's still hard sometimes. But it, like I said, it doesn't need to be a long call. It's just a check-in and, you know, half of the time I have to say I mostly get voicemails, but that's okay. That's okay. And then that gives me an opportunity too to just practice. So that's my take on it.
Thank you.
I could say pretty much ditto. I like the idea of putting on the hat. You know, this is something I have to do, so I'll put on my OA hat and call someone because that's what my sponsor said I have to do. And if the first thing out of my mouth is, hi, I'm Cindy and I'm calling because my sponsor said I have to, that's perfectly fine because the person on the other end is still glad to get a call.
Thank you. I bet this is a frequently asked question. Can I count a text message as one of the three calls I have to make every day?
I can start with, I think that would be between you and your sponsor. But if you're using the text to avoid actual contact with another human being, actual connection, then I would suggest trying to go the extra mile and make the phone call. And I have to remind myself, probably they're not going to answer anyway. And then I can text them. So.
I think for me, you know, it's like I said when I shared about progress, not perfection. So yeah, sometimes a text is all I made or all I, you know, all I was able to for a variety of reasons. But, like I also said, and like Cindy had just said, you know, for me, it's just making those calls for me just puts a smile on my face. And, that's the connection. So thank you.
Thank you. Many members have this question or issue. I struggle to make phone calls because I always feel like I might be disturbing people. Rhonda?
I feel like I sometimes do still feel like that, especially when I'm having a bad time or like it's like a, let's say a Saturday night and I'm in a bad frame and I'm like, oh, everyone's out there doing something great. And, you know, and that's just not the case necessarily. So, I try to really be mindful when people do put parameters around calls. I personally just say I'm available anytime. It doesn't, I mean, I take calls anytime. It doesn't mean I'm available anytime, but it means because of the different time differences and around the world, I don't want to miss, let's say, someone from doing that. So I, for me, want to open myself so that someone could call me anytime or leave a message. But I get that, and I know for me, I just keep working through it. Very rarely do I nowadays disturb someone. Most people, if they're sleeping or unavailable, it'll go to voicemail or it'll be declined or silenced or et cetera.
Cindy?
I am also available. I'm a contact for several meetings, you know, so when I get a phone call, sometimes I don't answer if I don't recognize a number, but somebody that really wants help will leave a message and I check right away and return the phone call if that's the case. But me deciding that everyone's too busy for me, that's not me taking responsibility. My responsibility is to reach out. Their responsibility is to monitor their end of the call. I'm always amazed when someone answers the phone and then I start to talk and they say, I'm in a meeting. And I always think, you shouldn't have answered your phone. But I don't take it as a rejection. I just understand they didn't want the phone to keep ringing, you know. And so people will let you know if it's a disturbance. Otherwise, just make the phone call.
Thank you, speakers. Here's a question related kind of to the text. What about emails? Are emails considered to be a call? Cindy, you want to talk to that?
Well, again, I think it depends. You know, an email is a slow way of getting your response. So what is it that you need right now? Am I looking for some information about some service I'm doing or something? Or am I in need of another person helping me not eat? If I'm needing someone to help me not eat, I need the instant connection. And an email, that's an avoidance technique, in my opinion. Thank you.
Thank you, Cindy. Let's see. How about if I make a call and it goes unanswered, will the person call me back or not necessarily? Rhonda, what do you think about that?
It's a 50-50, not necessarily. I have been very guilty of not making calls, and I had to look at that because when I was so quick, you know, they say like, you, what is it, three fingers, you point went back at you. There were so many times I didn't call people back for a variety of reasons, and I learned don't take it personally. You know, it ain't really about me. I'm not that powerful. I'm not that important. It's people, there are lots of reasons why people don't call. And sometimes people might just erase or lose the number. I know that's happened to me also. So, yeah, you know, granted grace. And if I feel like if I'm meant to, you know, connect with that person, maybe I'll see them again on another meeting or they can get my number somehow through another means.
Cindy?
Yeah. Pretty much the same thing. Quit taking it personal. It's not personal. Can't tell you how many times people have left an email, or not an email, a voicemail, but they don't tell me who they are. So I don't know what number, you know, to call back. So that's, you know, that happens sometimes too.
A P word of personal is also a P word of procrastination when it comes to phone calls. How about that? What are your suggestions for not procrastinating with phone calls and texts and replying also? Cindy?
All I can tell you is I've developed a habit of what do I need to do. And when I check my phone, if there's messages, I answer. And I will say, if I do procrastinate, I usually forget to call back. So I, these days at my age, I try not to procrastinate.
Okay.
You know, it's kind of like the habits of like brushing my teeth and doing basic things. I try to make at least one call in the morning before either when I'm on my way to work or like before work. That kind of sets the tone for the rest of the day. And then, so at least even if I didn't get a chance to make other calls, make like one call. That kind of just helps me get it done in the morning, you know, get it done first thing.
You gave some suggestions of what to talk about when you make a phone call. Can you give a little more, some sample things that people can use when they make their phone calls that they can ask of people or say? Cindy?
Well, I'm trying to think of something. It's just a simple thing. Hi, I'm making an outreach call. That's a conversation starter. Or, hi, how are you today? I'm making my outreach call, and I wanted to hear how you're doing today. Sometimes just letting the other person have an opening, your part is pretty simple. You can just listen. In fact, sometimes you have to figure out how to say, ooh, I have to go. But it's possible to just say, I'm really sorry, but I need to go. But most people are mindful of each other's schedules, and they are, like I said, they wouldn't answer the phone if they didn't want to take the call. And then they're happy to listen to you. It's that part in my mind that says nobody cares enough. Well, I care enough to try.
Okay.
Yeah, so what I also find really helpful, for example, I've been going recently on a 6:30 a.m. OA daily meditation meeting Eastern. And so, like, when I've made a couple of outreach calls, like, I'll say, like, hi, I'm Rhonda, because sometimes people want to know, like, what meeting do I know you from? Many people go to lots of meetings. So they might say, oh, how did you get my number? So that kind of prefaces it. So I'll say, like, I'm from the meditation meeting, or I'm from the Sunrise Phone meeting. So it kind of, that can also give an in to like a discussion of like, oh, we know each other from the meeting. So that sometimes helps me as well. Or I got your number from the convention.
This member says, my worst times for eating are at night. What do you suggest for making calls or texts? Cindy?
Find somebody else that has that same problem and call them, because people that eat at night, and I happen to know there's a couple of meetings where that is a focus. And so then you know people who share that same problem. Otherwise, call someone in a different time zone. You know, like if you're someone that's up at 2 a.m. your time and you're wanting to eat, then look for someone. I honestly don't know which direction you go, but someone in another part of the country or even in different continent, you know, and call them.
So, and I was just going to add something. So I'm actually, I have a little book, like a 99-cent store book. So I keep this as like my little number book. The reason I do this is I have a couple of fellows, and I can't find the number now, but for example, one time someone came on, I'm in New York City, she's in California, I don't know her, but she said, I'm like a diner, I'm a 24/7 operation, so you can call anytime. So when someone does that, I put a big star next to them, because then I know, and there are people who will say that, like, you can call me anytime. So when she said that about the diner, that just, not as, no pun intended, but, you know, it is a 24/7 operation. So maybe that will help someone late at night or in the middle of the night with that.
That's great. Does sending an OA slogan through text, is that considered outreach? What do you think, Cindy?
Well, it is a form of outreach, and it is sharing. Maybe the other person on the other end will respond in some way.
How about the part about where people, because we get so much spam, is it okay to text first? Because some people won't pick up the phone when they don't recognize the number. Rhonda?
Absolutely, respecting the boundary. I agree. It's possible, although not everyone has a cell phone, so sort of a gray area, but, you know.
So let's talk about the whole part about answering, not answering. Do you have any reasons when you maybe wouldn't want to talk to somebody? Is that ever an issue? Cindy?
My phone turns off at 7 o'clock at night. I am absolutely brain dead at 7 o'clock at night. And so I've always used, even with sponsees, I always say, are you an early bird or are you a night person? And if they're a night person, I tell them they need to contact someone else because I really am useless. But my phone turns on at 5 o'clock in the morning. So, you know, I do my best to keep up, but I do set that boundary for myself.
Okay.
I also am learning to, to turn the phone off at a certain time because I get very, very tired. I'm also, I'm up at like 5:30, 5:45. So, like, for example, if I'm at the bank, if I'm at the supermarket, if I'm like somewhere where, and supermarket not meaning like shopping per se, but like at the cash register, like where I have to concentrate, I will decline a call and call the person back because I think then that's that same idea of not being fully present. So sometimes it might take me a little while to return a call because I want to be able to focus. So in those kind of situations, I don't tend to pick up the phone.
Thank you. One member says they have another member who is hounding, is the word, with them with too many phone calls and asking for advice. How do you handle people like that? Cindy?
Well, if I'm not their sponsor, I suggest they talk to their sponsor when they have that much information or need that much information. And I have the right to not answer a phone. So I might limit them to one call a day or one call every couple of days, depending on the relationship. I usually am very generous with my time unless it becomes a nuisance. And God love them. They can call half a dozen other people besides me or even 1,000 people besides me. So I do set boundaries around that.
Thank you. Rhonda, somebody would like to know how you handle a call that goes on too long.
Sometimes I will preset a timer. Sometimes I will say when I first answer the phone, if I know the person, you know, it can be possibly that kind of situation. I have 5 minutes. And sometimes I'll have to lovingly interrupt and say, I'm so sorry. I have to go. And that does happen. Like, I'm a teacher. When I get to my school, it's like 7:35. It's like I'm going in, you know, so sometimes that's what it is. And lovingly, as long as it's done lovingly with grace.
Cindy?
I have a sponsor. It took me a while to figure out what she was doing, but I always appreciated it. She had a lot of kids, and all of a sudden she'd say, oh, I have to go. And she meant, I'm hanging up the phone. I always thought, oh, my gosh, one of her kids, it's an emergency. You know, and eventually I figured out, oh, it was time for me to get off. But bless her heart. She never said, oh, I'm tired of listening to you. She always just had an emergency. And, you know, we have to learn that interaction with another person and be respectful of them and know that they're being respectful of us. But they're not there 24/7 for us. If we need that kind of support, we need multiple people to call. Like I said, when I shared, I have like 6 people. They're my like go-to people. And if I can't get them, then I maybe need to talk to my higher power. So, you know, just depends on what's going on.
Thank you. This is one from a member who says, my husband and kids think I spend too much time on OA phone calls. How do I handle that? It's so important to me. Rhonda?
That's if I may say, that's what I was alluding to when I spoke, and what I try to do now is, if I'm going to be, like, for this meeting, for example, I told my husband in advance, like, I'm going to be sitting, you know, on my yoga mat, like, please don't come in, it's, you know. But I try to make my calls when I'm not in my home, and if I'm in my home when I'm not, like, in the middle of something. So that kind of just helps. My children are also, like, grown and older, but I just try to be mindful of it.
And I have, you know, like, my husband and I eat lunch together every day. And I used to just grab the phone if it rang. And I've had to discipline myself to just let that call go, because I need to show as much respect for the people in my household as I would for any of my OA friends. And yeah, I can give all the time I want to it, but I also need to be mindful that my family needs me as well. There's no obligation to be on the phone 24/7. None.
Thank you. That is all the time, I'm afraid, that we have for today's session on the telephone. But please go ahead and use it. There is a solution. It is right here in these rooms. Yes.